Good. Well, it's fantastic to be with you in your homes. And there we go. Great. I wanted to chat to you about something I was reading in the week. I was reading the letter that Paul wrote. No, not Paul. Peter wrote in the first letter of Peter. Peter was the loudmouth. If you read the Gospels, you'll find Peter is the one who always puts his foot in it, who always speaks before thinking. But about 30 years after Jesus had died and was resurrected, gone to heaven, Peter wrote this letter to a church in what is now, or some churches in what is now, Turkey. And so we're going to read part of that in a moment. But just at that time, the context is that the Christians were in a really difficult place at that time. You'll have heard of Nero, the Roman emperor, who blamed the Christians for burning Rome. Well, that was at this time, and the Christians were being persecuted by the Roman Empire. And we know about Nero, and he was putting them in the Colosseum with the lions and all of those awful things that were happening. And that's the context which Peter is writing to the church. And so when he writes, it's a time for them of uncertainty. It's a time of trial. It's a time of difficulty. And I think we know what that feels like now. It's uncertain for us. It's difficult for us. And so I think Peter has something that he can write to us, and we can take from this letter that he wrote to the church at that time. So we're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through to verse 9. And Peter writes this: "All honour to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it's by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation, because you are trusting in him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though it's necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him, you trust him. And even now you are happy with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Your reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." You know, that those verses you could almost read as being a little bit triumphalistic. You know, we need to have joy in trials and all of those things. But Peter is writing this to the church that knows what it means to suffer persecution, and he himself is one who knows what it means to suffer persecution. So he's not writing this in a glib manner, but he's saying we need to look at the big picture here. You see, the key to getting through difficult times is hope. Peter's message to the church is: we're facing persecution right now, but there's hope. And in a sense, his message to us is: we're facing a trial right now, but there's hope. Verse 3 and 4, he says, "Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay." And verse 6 says, "We can endure many kinds of trials." But what is this hope that Peter writes about? It's an eternal hope. If we put our trust in him, he promises us salvation. He promises us the hope of heaven. He promises us an eternity without pain and disease and bereavement. And how do we get that? Well, Peter says we simply put our trust in him. Verse 8 says, "You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Trust him for our salvation. Trust him for freedom from sin and freedom from the consequences of sin. God, forgive me, a sinner. Let me give you an example of what it means to have hope when you're going through a trial. Maybe nearly 20 years ago now, a friend of ours, John Dawson. Hi, John, if you're watching. He'd been in a motorbike accident, and it had left him with one leg 3 inches shorter than the other. His leg had been seriously broken, and when it had been set, it had been set wrongly. And so the hospital were proposed that they would break his leg again, and they would put one of those cages on his leg to lengthen his leg. I think we can have a picture here on the screen, can we? This is not John, this is somebody else's leg. But one of those cages on the leg, I think probably Zach is watching in Tunbridge Wells. You've had one of these on your leg recently, know what it feels like. And so the doctors proposed we put one of these on his leg to straighten and lengthen the leg. And so John went to hospital and he had his leg broken. And for a couple of weeks he was in hospital. And so there's this pain that he has to go through. But then every day for several months, quite a few months, there were some bolts on the cage that had to be screwed out to lengthen the leg. And so every day the leg would be lengthened. And every day when that happened, there was pain involved as it stretched the muscles and it stretched everything that was there. I was the deputy bolt screwer person when Jill, his wife, was away. Maybe she was working, maybe she was away. I had to go every day and screw the bolts to lengthen his leg. So I know something about this. And I asked myself, John, why did you go through that pain? But the answer is because of what he could see ahead. The answer is because he knew that he could go through this pain for months, and it was definitely months. But in the long term, his leg would be lengthened. He would not need to wear a shoe that was built up. The damage that was occurring to his knee because of this would be reduced. And so in the long term, the benefit was greater than the short term pain. And obviously that is a very physical and a very momentary example. But what Peter says here in this letter is we're going through trials at the moment, but in the long term, we have heaven ahead of us. In the long term, we have a hope for the future. In the long term, we have an inheritance that cannot perish, spoil, or fade. And so I want to say to you, lift your eyes. Look at the big picture. I know that's tough. And we're going to have moments through our time. And Sarah's already said this week, she's had moments, believe it or not, so have I. They've been quite short. As Sarah said, I'm an introvert. I don't mind being in. But, you know, there are moments when we have our eyes on the present. But the challenge for us is when we have those moments to lift our eyes and say, heaven is my home. That is my future and that is my hope. Just to conclude with this morning, I don't want to minimize the pain of the moment because it is real and things are tough right now. People are losing loved ones, and I've known this week people within our church have got relatives who've suffered from this disease and some who have been bereaved by it. I think sometimes Peter's words are difficult to receive. And if we're in that circumstance, it's hard for us to say, lift our eyes and look at the things ahead. But all who have Jesus have a hope. Yes. And we need to learn to look at the big picture. Our hope of heaven. In this lockdown, we look forward to the day when we can be free from the walls of our house, from the confines that we've been put under. But as Christians, we look forward to the moment where we're free from the limitations of this body. Our hope of heaven. And how do we get that hope? Well, as Peter says here, we put our trust in Jesus. In a moment or two, we're going to sing that song, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And when we do that, let's make this our prayer, that he will enable us, that he will help us to lift our eyes from the present circumstance to the hope of heaven before us. Just before we sing that, we're just going to pray. So let's pray together. Father, we pray you'd help us with the challenge ahead of us. Father, we pray you'd help us to focus our attention on you and the things of you. Father, we don't want to minimize the circumstances we find ourselves in. Father, we pray you'd help us to endure these trials. But Father, more than that, I pray you'd help us to lift our eyes, to see the hope of heaven, to see the inheritance ahead of us. Father, that we can put our hope in you. Father, I pray you'd help us, because that's tough for us. We're human beings and we find it difficult. Father, I pray you'd help us to change our perspective. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, we're going to quickly shift back. Richard's rushing round to the guitar as we speak.